I haven't, but I think others have, and the claims are that this drifting process will add some metals to the ICM, but not sufficient to explain the observations. I guess
what I'm actually worried about is that the gas which has to be turned into stars to make the metals being stripped before it
seems. That probably is because the metals probably come from ellipticals early on, from winds from elliptical galaxies, so that they were generated quite early at high redshifts.
Just to confirm what we have here, we did some statistics based on the same simulation by different Kasper, Bullock, and and this is related to the question that was raised here about the IGN in clusters and its metallicity and its light. And I think it's the same thing, but done with 7,000 halos in this simulation. And the idea is the following. I'm not going to expand everything here, but just make a point I want to make. What we do is we look at four different components. Okay? It's an N-body, not that. Isolated halos. Halos, which you may call clusters, because they have star halos called S, and diffuse components, that's what we're talking about here. And then some unbound material. So every particle is classified into one of these four groups. And this is the exchange rate, the function of time. Okay? In megaparsecs per milliliter per megaparsec cube. Now, let me just show you something further to what Ben showed us here. Sorry?
Oh, sorry, man. Go on. Can you say make a final
in the rate, okay? Except the black lines, which are actually densities of measures that exist in each component. So let's focus just on this diffuse component cluster, this pattern here. This is how the diffuse component grows in time. It's total amount of measure in it. It's a 7,000. Growth time is the black line. But looking at those two lines, the solid and the dotted line, this is what's coming in, the rate of things coming in from the unbound material, and this is what's coming in from either halos already. Okay? So this would be star, or light, or metal, and this would be some fresh matter that falls in. And you see it's kind of a constant fraction about factor of two between the two. And you can learn from this. Filter, for example, that there's a lot of background light. In fact, if you learn from this, that about half the light is going to be in half the light is going to be in the diffuse component compared to what it is in the subhalo component. And you can guess very roughly that the metallicity will be about a third of the metallicity inside the galaxy. If you just think in terms of barriers following the dark matter, ignore the question of hot versus cold. You can make some very good assumptions. And that's what this ratio of two here predicts that the metallicity is in the diffuse component near about a third. So I think that the answer is, I think Ben said it the other way, but I think gravity alone, even if you cannot push the metals by wind and waves from those different halos, okay, beyond, you know, a few tens of kiloparsecs, gravity will do it for you by by bringing the stars and the metals from hydrogen metals, and while the fluorine is being rusted, the way we saw in the smoothie, a lot of metals come in and can provide about a third solar metallicity. And well, you can really, this thing is just basically a very big story to make. You can write linear exchange rate equation, an integrator, and end up with a whole story. It's about metallicity, this is a predicted evolution of metallicity, for example, in cluster. And you can explain for this exchange rate why it grows between 3 and 1, and then it becomes flat and quite comparable to observation in temperature. You are predicting that groups will have a little higher metallicity than clusters. And this part of it, you can also predict what the IgM in the unbound material will have, and why, because of expulsion from others.
Yeah, that may be sufficient without resorting to the stripping processes. Yeah. It'd be nice to see more, but you don't really see much evidence for this. Well, in groups, the encounters are not in the impulsive regime, so the disk has time to respond adaptively to these encounters, so it's not clear that this is an important process in groups. It's really the high velocities and the stronger shocks that can pull material out and cause this visible things? Probably not. But we haven't.
Well, they call it merging.
Go ahead. They're quite low, of order 5 or so, because the dark matter is preferentially stripped away. Yes. Well, I guess I was motivated from the original HST images, which showed that 90% of those galaxies classified by Dressler et al. Were SC, SD, DI galaxies. And 90% of the galaxies in COMA are DS, dwarf spiral galaxies. So there seems to be one-to-one correspondence there between the numbers. So I think that works. As for the luminosity function, well, that's another story in the field. But I think at the high redshift clusters, you see enough of these disky type galaxies to explain the numbers in the nearby clusters. Okay, the first question is very interesting. I have got a opinion on this, because we submitted a paper that says that those faint-end slopes in luminosity functions are actually all due to projection effects, because there are no redshifts at the, for those faint galaxies. So what we did, we took some mock catalogs, made fake Abel cluster catalogs, and this is work with, again, the Cordova group, Mario Abadi and Carlos Valotto. And he showed that once you identify clusters in projection, you preferentially see, you know, you pick up things that aren't real. So you see foreground galaxies that are masquerading as faint things in the cluster. So, that's why I was motivated to do this, because clusters are made from the field, and the field luminosity function is flat. So I think that the steep slopes in clusters are just purely a projection effect. I don't think they're real. The referee is having a hard time with that. So, if the faint end slopes were minus 2, as people have claimed, then there is enough population in the dwarf galaxies to strip them up and make a very large component of the diffuse light. Ken Freeman would argue that from a number of redshifts for planetary nebula in the Virgo cluster, that about half, given all the light attached to galaxies in the Virgo cluster, there's an additional 50% distributed in a smooth component. Whether that number is 100% or 20%, we won't know until better statistics come out, but it's a significant fraction. That's that was from Ferguson. They got 15%, but don't forget the HST image is extremely small field of views, and the ICL is very clumpy in these models. But if you take, that's right, you don't know the number. But if you take the conversion factor for a normal galaxy, 10 to the 7 or something, then you get a significant number. Good, let's go for coffee then.